It takes a while to get us ready. But when God's ready to move, he does it quickly. He does it quickly. That's why I believe when he talks about in Scripture, when he says, hey, behold, I am coming quickly, he wants you to be in a posture that's ready for him to come. Ready for him to come. The danger is that because we don't necessarily see him coming, that we tend to fall into apathy and we don't pursue like we should and we don't occupy like we should and we miss out on the opportunities of getting ready for him to come back and get us. But I believe right now, if nothing else, this season should have stirred you to action, okay? To get ready, to look deeper beyond the surface, that there is a work that's going on here that is beyond you and that is beyond me. And we have to be able to see that. And if you can see that, it'll give you the eyes and the fortitude that you need to continue to move and to trust God in this process, even though you cannot see necessarily what he's doing. The Bible says to discern the times. I'm telling you that we are in the times, okay? We are in the times and that God is getting his church ready, and I believe that you're part of the church. And so we're going to kick it off in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, starting in verse 13. It says this. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And so what God is saying is that he's saying, listen, I need you to keep your flavor. I need you to keep your flavor. How many of you have been to McDonald's before? Come on, most of us. And McDonald's is known for its what? It's French fries. Okay, it's French fries. When you get a bad batch of fries, you're like, hold on, wait, take this back. I need you to do something different with this because it's not right. Salt these again. Give me a fresh batch. There's something about it. You can tell when there's a fresh batch versus as this thing has been sitting in here for a while. And so I think what happens in our life sometimes is that we lose our flavor. And it's because of life. It's because we have allowed things to encroach our faith walk. And instead of coming against it and knowing that it might have been allowed for our growth, instead we take it on as bondage. And we take it on as something that God never intended us for us to take on. We were supposed to grow through it, but instead we end up going through it. And sometimes what happens is that we can stay in a trial too long. And anything that simmers too long isn't good for you. Case in point, you've been in the pool too long, what happens to you? You start to shrivel up a little bit, right? And so anything that is part of your process that's too long, it ends up being a detriment to you if you're not careful. And I think God wants his people to move through things quicker so that we can become more like him and learn the lesson so we can get out. I believe, and look at your life. How many people have you known that they're stuck in a cycle that God never intended them for to be stuck in that cycle that long? And most of the time what they do is that they end up blaming God for that cycle. And instead of learning what they need to learn, they get stuck. And they end up wandering around the wilderness for years and they never leave it. And God said, listen, I wanted you to leave this long time ago. But because you didn't learn what you needed to learn and you complained through the whole time, that it ended up being a snare to you. And because it's a snare to you, it's hard for you actually to now to walk in the freedom that I've called you to walk in. I don't believe God's called us to walk in bondage. I believe he's called us to walk in freedom. But I do believe there are things that God allows in our life to set us free. That makes sense to you. When you look at the Old Testament is a love story between God and his people. But how many times did God send his people into bondage or into captivity only to go in to show himself for who he was specifically during that time just to set them free? Hey, listen, I'm confining you so you can actually see me. But once you see me, you're no longer going to be able to stay this way. You'll be free. And so that's why he puts us there. I want you just to see me for who I am so that you can come out of it knowing who I am. But instead, what happens is, just like the Israelites, we end up going back into those places. And sometimes those places are warranted because God says, unless I put you in this place, you won't see a facet of me. And I want to say this. Let's not look at God's hiding as a punishment. Sometimes we think that God's punishing us just because it's hard or it's difficult or we don't see a way out. But it could very well be God's protection that he's trying to shelter you from things that you're not ready from. And he's really trying to shelter you from the things that are going to get at you that he doesn't want to get at you. And let's not look at it as something that God's trying to punish us with, but let's look at it as God's protection and getting us to a place where we're actually ready to see God and then as a result, do what God has asked us to do. Because unless God goes to work, think about it this way. When he made you and he formed you in your mother's womb, the Bible says it was in the secret place. You know, that secret place doesn't stop once you come out of that birthing process. God's watched over you for years. He showed you things about himself for years. He's brought you out of things for years. He's protected you for years. And he's hid you for a purpose. And that secret place is that place where only you and God can go. And God has designed it specifically for you so that he can get his best work done. God does his best work in private. And so when he does that work in private, he does it because it's special and it's unique between you and him. So that when you're ready to be revealed to the world, you are ready to be revealed the way he wants you to be revealed. You are the way you are because God wanted it that way. He wanted it that way. And so God wants a specific relationship with you, and it's an intimate relationship. But it's important that we understand that that process goes on in our life in different seasons because he wants us to keep our flavor. He says, if you lose your saltiness, you're no good. You're no good. And so what I'm doing is that I'm trying to preserve you to keep you salty so that when people look at you, they actually see that there's someone at work in that person's life and they want what you have. You bring something to the table that other people need. You bring something to the earth that is necessary. When Adam and Eve lost that right in the garden, God has been trying to, until this day, restore us back to that place where we're ruling and reigning and that we're being the people that God has called us to be, being the salt, being the light. And I would venture to say in here tonight that a lot of you, you've lost that saltiness because of COVID, because of what if, because of loss. And you might think that God's not good because if we're not careful, we can, just like the world does, we could allow circumstances to define our life and rob you of your walk of faith and the intimate relationship that God wants to have with you. If we're not careful, we can lose that. And so we have to fight in order to keep our focus, in order to keep our place with God. God doesn't move, but we have a way of shifting. And so we have to fight to keep our place with him, keep in right standing here in our state so that we could hear from him clearly. That's why this series is so important and taking a closer look, because I believe God wants to pull back the veil so that we can see deeper in what he's actually doing. It's not just something of where we look at, well, God's just doing something on the surface. No, you got to look a little deeper for this one. Look a little deeper. Because once you look deeper, you'll see that, oh, God is actually at work and doing the thing that I need to sustain me in my life right now, my life. And so the question for you is this. Where did it go? Where did it go? What am I asking you? Where did it go? Where'd your testimony go? Where'd your faith go? And let's be honest, let's look back when this started kicking up in March. It feels like we are light years from March. Light years. We've been through every scenario, every situation of opening, closing, shutting down. Maybe we should, maybe we should, maybe we should come, maybe we shouldn't, maybe we shouldn't. You name it, we've been in it. And it's been light years. And I want to ask you, where's your faith gone? Where's it gone? And have you misplaced it and got out of step with God? Because it's not normal. And if we're not careful, we can look at circumstances and say, well, this is just what normal is. In reality, God's not normal. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but it doesn't matter what this season is. It doesn't matter what it throws at you. God's promises are still yes and amen. And so for us, we have to still pursue God. We still have to stay in position to where we can receive and listen to him, especially during these times where we feel like even he's hidden himself. And the fact is, God has not hidden himself so that he can't be found. God is asking, will you come look for me? Will you come look for me? I can play hide and seek. I know how to play it. And I'm asking you to seek me. Because if you seek me, you'll find me. That's the type of relationship that God wants with you. You know, the lover of your soul. That God who reaches out and says, tag, you're it. Now it's time for you to come look for me. Now it's time. I'm looking at you constantly, but I want you to come look at me. Hey, I'm running. So I want you to come look at me. I've already left that place. I'm in a different spot. Come looking for me. How bad do you want to see me? How bad do you want to see me? If you want to see me, you'll do the things that are necessary to get to me. You know how it is. When you want to see someone really bad, you'll sell something, you'll save something, you'll do what you have to do in order to get there because you want to see that person really bad. How much more with God when he said, I want to see you really bad? And to prove that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my best. I'm going to give you my son, and I'm going to let you see what I can do. And now the response is I want to see now what you're going to do in response. That's why when he says, present your lives as a living sacrifice, which is reasonable, he said, that's reasonable. Okay, that's what I want from you. I gave you my all. Now I want you to give your all to me. That's a two-way street. That's what this relationship is about. Well, it's unconditional. It's unconditional, but it moves you to do something. He said, the least you can do is get up. The least you can do is praise me. The least you can do is find where you lost your faith and say, okay, Lord, there it was. I already know where you lost it. I just want to raise it back up again. At least you can do is be honest with me. And stop dancing around the issue because I already know about it. The least you can do is to get up and say good morning because of who I am. This is the day that I have made. The least you can do is thank me for the fact that I got you through the night and that you got up when it was a rough day yesterday. The least you can do is to get up and say, okay, let's do this thing. I got a glass at my house. It's a thermostat that my sister gave to me, and on the side of it, it says, get after it. Because that's a phrase that I use. Instead of waiting for it, just get after it. We've been duped into this passive Christianity where it's like God's going to do it. He's coming for me. He already came. He's continuing to pursue you. In return, get after him. And stop waiting for it to be so desperate. Do you know desperation is a ploy at times? To where the enemy gets us to that point where it's like, I'm so desperate for God. I just know where God is. I just know. God doesn't want us to be there all the time. Do you understand that? We don't have to be in the bowels of hell daily in order for God to come down and save us. But sometimes we get this mindset where it's like, well, unless it's hard and I'm in desperation, God's not going to come and save me. I think God gets to the point where he's like, listen, I've already saved you. I've already healed you. I brought you through that season. I would love for you just to stand up and for us to have a conversation with one another where you're not going back down to the depths of despair for something I already saved you from. Listen, what does that say about my grace? What does that say about me? The fact that I can't save completely, the fact that I can't deliver completely, that we keep having to eat ice cream every night at 12 o'clock and watch reruns of Gilmore Girls all night? Fill in the blank, fill in the show. You know it is. You fill in whatever you need. I don't feel love. Well, I'm going to replace it with something. I don't feel happy, so I'm going to find something that makes me happy. And God's saying the whole time, if you'll just let me kick that crutch out and allow me to come up and uphold you, you won't have to worry about that anymore. You'll be able to walk hand in hand with me, strong, fired up, just full of faith because of who I am. Don't you know that? He's saying, you don't have to settle for second best. Where did it go? Adam, where are you? God already knew. Do you know? Lord, I'll tell you where I'm at. I'm here. Thank you for telling me. So now we can come in and actually communicate with one another, because there's been this gulf between you and I, because you won't be honest. I already know. I'm just trying to get you to expose it so I can heal it. How long or how many times has it taken you finally to get to a point where God would say, okay, God, that's it. That's it. It's enough. I need you to heal it because it's killing me. I need you to get in, take care of it, because it's not working for me. So I'm asking you to help my unbelief and to get me to a place where I feel that I can move with you again. You know what that looks like when you feel like you're not moving with God. It's a hard place to be at. Yesterday, I was getting some work done, physical therapist, just on my body. And so what he did was he went in and he was doing work. And you know how it is when you go in sometimes. You're like, man, I got some work that need to be done. He finds stuff. You know what I'm saying? When they're good, they find stuff. Okay. I didn't know that was there. Well, I found it. Okay. Which was good. So he went in and I just got my skeleton guy up here. And he said, listen, you are stuck up here. In your neck, you are stuck. And so it was hard for me to get a full range of motion going to my left. Okay. So this guy is not much better. Okay. But, and so going to my, he's better to the right, just like I was. I didn't make it this way, okay? So I went to the right, and I was great. I went to the left, and I was like, okay, what are those deals? And he's like, listen, you're stuck here. And so what I need you to do is I need you just to trust me. Now, when he gets in and starts doing stuff, This is not one of those things where it's like, hey, from a distance, I'm just going to COVID massage you, okay? Okay, what he does is he says, I'm going to do stuff. And so he was telling me, because you have all these bones in your vertebrae up here, and he said, I got to get in there, and I got to loosen that up, and you're going to feel better. And so I said, okay. And he said, you trust me? I said, yeah, man. You know, not really knowing what he was going to do. So we got in and was putting pressure on the place that was causing me not to have full range of motion. And I'm telling you, it was a little awkward and uncomfortable, but it was necessary, because once he got done, he said, Now look. Okay, no, it's not quite there yet. Let's do it again. So he got up and he was on it. Now he's in there doing some stuff that's necessary, finding the stuff, pressing in it. And finally, I was able to move it without any hindrance, and it was better. Now, he didn't just do it on my neck. He also did it on the right side of my body. He was doing something with my shoulders. He's like, hey, you trust me? He kept asking me that question. I'm like, I trust you, man. I'm here. I trust you, okay? But there were times, listen to this, where he was doing something. He'd say, stop tensing up. I got it. Because anytime you're uncomfortable with the unknown about what's going to happen, because you're like, man, you're turning me and twisting me in some different ways, you have a tendency, I'm going to control this, because you don't know what the outcome's going to be. But he said, I got it. So I'd have to just, okay. And then he'd do his thing. And I'm like, man, I felt better. How many of us, when God begins to put pressure on areas of our life that we are stuck in, do we say, yeah, you got it, but secretly we're like, no, I really got it? Because what happens is we're afraid about what the release is going to be. Because what that means is, wait, some anger might come out of me. There might be some grieving that comes out of me. There might be some pain that comes out of me as a result of this pressure. And unless we're ready to deal with that, we run from it. But God takes you at your word when you say, no, Lord, I want to be used. I want to change. And God says, okay, well, I'm going to bring in pressure. I'm going to start touching on some things in your life that are going to cause you to get unstuck so that you can walk freer again. All I'm trying to do is to get you walk freer again, so you can get better range of motion, so you actually can be in a healthy relationship emotionally and not become codependent. I'm helping you actually to be able to move again, where you actually can pray to me and believe that I'm going to answer you and not cower in fear because you think somehow I'm looking down at you and haven't forgiven you of a past sin that you haven't confessed to me. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get some guilt to move. Like just like this guy was trying to get me to move a little bit, get some of that stuff to move. God's trying to get some guilt to move. Some shame to move. Shame. Because that's one thing that'll block the presence of God real quick. Because you're embarrassed about yourself or you're embarrassed about what you did, it will cause you to hide in places that God never called you to hide in. And God will have to come in and try to like rip some stuff up in order to get to you because you barricaded yourself back behind grief, doubt, bitterness, thinking that it's somehow safe, and it's not safe. It's killing you. It's killing you. Look at your life now. Look, most of us in here, mature Christians, look at your life now before Christ or even in the beginning stages of your relationship with Christ, how far you have come just in your range of motion when it comes to faith. Just what you're able to do now. God's helped you move some of that stuff along. A testimony of God's grace. Just moved in. Gonna move in next week. I'm helping her. Right? So, testimony. But had to move through cycles. And if she wasn't strong enough to say, okay, God, I'm going to do it your way, she would not be here today in this process. Because if you're not careful, the process will kill you. But most people don't like to talk about this because we want God to come in and just do, I'm going to prophesy over it and it's going to come out. For God to just wave his hand and all of a sudden it leaves. But God says, hold on, my grace is sufficient in weakness. And so the way we're going to grow through this is for us to go through this. I'm going to show you what it looks like to have real joy. And I'm going to show you what it looks like to actually not walk with a root of bitterness inside you. Because even in that, if we're not careful, we can let trials rob our joy. And we can stay in it to a point of where we become bitter because of it. And God never intended us for us to get bitter. Obviously, he wants us to grow through it. So where are you at tonight? Is something stuck and it's just not moving? You don't have full range of motions. You know it. You know it. You know there's an area I'm just holding back. I feel like there's this tentativeness between me and God. Like God's not going to answer me. He's not going to come through for me. And that you got to get that right. Because if you don't, it's going to kill your progress going forward. And you're always going to be in flux or in doubt with whether or not God loves you. Settle it right now. God loves you. That's why you're there. Your uncomfortableness is God's gift. When he hugged me on that table and said, put your arms like this, and was squeezing me, and I was like, man, that's painful, but I feel better. It was worth that little bit of uncomfortableness. A little bit. You can contort in ways you've never thought you can contort in. That makes sense to you. If you just allow God to get in and stretch you out a little bit. Because you have limited yourself only to your experience. And you haven't allowed God to come in and make good out of that experience and cause it to work for your good. Instead, what it does is it causes, sometimes if people let it, it causes people to go the other way. And what we were talking about yesterday, what was so key, and this is so good, it was so timely, was what he said, listen, you are great. You are strong up here. You are great. What I want you to work on is the middle of your back right here. Because once you strengthen that, it's going to help you avoid the roundedness that you see with people. Ever notice that as people get older? Because they're not strengthened in the right spots in order to keep their body aligned and erect the way it's supposed to be. And so he said, if you strengthen yourself in those spots, I promise you that you'll begin to see a difference in your posture and the way you walk. And when I walked out yesterday, I immediately felt the difference in the way I was walking because my shoulders were back and I was in alignment like I have not been before. And what I'm telling you is this, if you allow God to strengthen those areas that are essential, it will help you go further in life. And the flow of Christ will be able to go through you quicker and easier because you're not entangled and knotted up so much. And so when God comes in and says, I love you, it doesn't have to pass the former Malia test. What does that mean? You love me by what? Because are you trying to trick me or are you not tricking me? You know that test where you feel like God has an agenda. God says, no, if I say I love you, I love you. There's no agenda in that. Okay, yeah, you're going to do things for me, but I'm not asking you to do things for me to trick you. Sometimes we think, I'm going to trick you. God's going to trick me into doing it. I know it. I know it. I know it. If I don't say I'll move anywhere, guess what? You're going. If I'm not to a place where God, I'm not totally surrendered, God's going to come in and say, psych, well, I'm going to get you there. And then what it causes us to do is walk in fear. Oh, God, what's it going to do with me? That's not fear. It's bondage. God said there's no fear in love. If you'll just let me untangle some stuff, you'll actually see that I'm not the way you think I am and that I actually want to pour life into you and that my agenda is you. My agenda is you. And once we do life together, it doesn't matter where I send you because you know that I'm with you. And there's no fear in love. You don't have to fear because I'm already with you. I've untangled that part of you, Shelly, already. I've untangled the fear, the fear aspect, that fear thing that comes up and says, you remember when you were a little girl and you dealt with that? God said, I've already entangled that. So when the enemy tries to come in, throw out the former lie, you're like, who are you talking about? That's old Shelly. I don't even recognize that person. When people bring stuff up, I'm like, who are you even talking about? Because it's shut down. It's dead. And so I can believe God quicker. And so when God says, Sharon, I have something for you. Sharon, you've walked with God long enough. Say, I know you do, Lord. I know it. I feel it. I already feel it. I'm confident in that. I'm confident in the fact that I'm loved. I'm chosen. I'm accepted. That you have a plan for me. And I don't have to walk back, step back, or tuck my tail because I know who I am. Don't mess it with it. Sharon. She knows what's up. So it's the same way. You got to get to a place of where you know who you are. When I walk into my room downstairs, I have a little bit of office where the laundry room is. My MacBook lights up. There's a setting on the display that lights up when it's dim, but also when it lights up because it knows I'm walking in the room. Listen, it recognizes, hey, there's someone in here, and that I recognize it. And I wonder for us if that's not how God wants us to be when we walk somewhere. When you have an understanding that when I walk in a room, place lights up. It should be different. I change the atmosphere everywhere I walk. It has nothing to do with, oh, you're so cocky. Now, I just know I'm confident in who God is. It has nothing to do with the fact you don't know what God has saved me from. You have no idea what God has done in my life. I don't have to apologize to do anything to try to get your approval. All I know is that God loves me. He has a plan for my life. You can sit down. You can stand up. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that God is good. He's good all the time. He's with me. And the fact of the matter is that he wants to do something. And I believe when God calls us to do something and sends us somewhere, don't care where it is, if it's at your work, if it's at your office, if it's at your school, you're supposed to change the atmosphere. You are the light. So when you walk in, things should stand to attention, be like, all right, someone's here. Someone's here. How much more the enemy? When you walk somewhere, someone's here. Because of the threat that you pose to darkness. You pose a threat to darkness. That's why you're fought so hard. That's why things come against you so hard, because you're a threat. And so if you can understand you're a threat, you'll look at it differently and invite it. Be like, thank you. Because I know who I am and I know whose I am. And so he's going to give me the ability to fight that. So that's what separates the Christian from being successful and making progress, as opposed to the Christian who always backs down because they look at resistance as a problem or an issue that they can't deal with. And God says, if you'll look at it just as an opportunity to grow from and overcome, I'm telling you what, we'll start to go to other places, me and you. That separates the men from the boys. That separates the women from the kids. It's the fact that you can take it and keep going and say, oh, this is actually working for my good. Come on now. Don't miss out on this. Don't miss out. Because how many people do you know They've been robbed of a fruitful and prosperous relationship with God because they saw resistance or hardship as a punishment. Or they saw it as something that they didn't see that was biblical, or they didn't realize that they were going to have to go through anything when they became a Christian. I'm here to tell you that is a lie. And that when you sign up to be a Christian, you are enlisted in warfare. And that God is bringing you to a place in warfare where you are a soldier learning how to do stuff. That's why in the Bible he says, listen, if you are in warfare or you are doing things for God, don't get entangled. Don't get entangled. Throw off everything. The weight, the sin that so easily entangles us, and run the race, because there's a war going on and you can't be thinking about what's happening back home. You can't be thinking about what's happening in your past when you're trying to move forward and fight today's devil. God said, I got something for you to go here. We can't keep going back to there and say, okay, how are we going to fight this? That was then. This is now. This is the bigger one. That was his brother. God's heart for us is to get loosed. I'm excited. I am excited. I'm fired up because I believe God's doing something new in the earth today, and you got to get on it. Get on it now. Get on it now and stop playing games. We've been talking about this, so stop playing games. What's going on? God is separating people and saying, listen, I need you in with me. Get in with me. We can't do this together. If we got everyone, some are in, some are out. I need you just to say, listen, you're on my team, and let's pick me. Yes, I'm on your team because I want to be on your team because we're going to win this thing. I've already seen too much. Where are we going now? What do we got to do? Okay, awesome. I love it. Now, some people are to the place where they're ready to do that, and God said, all right, now, tis the season. Tis the season for what? It's time for a growth spurt. Time for a growth spurt. This is what this season is right here. Growth spurt time. You know growth spurt, right? Things start to change. You start to stretch out. Start to use muscles you never thought you had. Growth spurt time. Necessary. Part of life. God said, well, okay, if you're going to survive it, we're going to have to grow. Because there are other things that you're going to have to deal with along the way. So I'm going to have to move you away from those childish things and move you into manhood, move you into womanhood, so we can deal with this stuff as mature adults, knowing that who you are in me, knowing that you're a warrior, and we got to fight some stuff. There are some things we got to fight. So we can't keep going back to five-year-old Sharon. We can't be going back to five-year-old Ellen anymore. You're fighting a grown-up devil who is strategic and has schemes. And so if you're not careful, you can fall into those schemes. If you're not prayed up, you can fall into those schemes. If you don't have the helmet of salvation on, you can doubt whether or not God loves you and whether or not God has saved you. You got to be careful and know there are schemes that are there. What's the scheme that's taking you out? What is it? Scheming. And it usually has something to do with something that we haven't submitted to God, or something that we really haven't trusted God with, to know that I'll have to trust you to take care of this. Just scheming. We're going to get ready to close, but even in your families, just scheming. Knows what to do to get in, just to bring rift and dissension. And God said, listen, the way I've called you and how I've called you into this, I need you to be focused on me. The Bible talks about in the New Testament how he came to bring a sword, and people would say, oh my God, he's so rough. He came to bring a sword. No, I'm going to divide people. I'm going to divide them up. Because I'm doing it for a reason. I can't have any other allegiances away from me. You have to be with me. And if you think about it, it's always been that way. It's always been that way. If God wanted it a different way, it would have been a different way. But he wanted a different representation of who he was in the earth today by the way he created people differently with different DNAs, the way they talk, the way they walk. He wanted it differently. It's always been that way. It's always been, hey, Adam, I want a relationship with you. Hey, Eve, I want a relationship with you. It's always been that way. Well, for whatever reason, what happens is over time is we get that misconstrued and we start looking at everybody else because of what's going on in the world. And we think, oh my God, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Is God in control? God's always been in control. God has always been on the throne. God has always been moving. But he sets up times like this in order to repurpose us and to get us back refocused so that we could take a closer look on the fact that, wait a minute, hold on. He's been with me even before birth. Oh. And if he knew me before birth, how much more can I trust him now? So where did it go? Where'd your faith level go? There are people in this church over the last, I would say, 3 years who have gone from like A to Z in their faith walk. Just from where they came from and what God brought them through. Yeah, they have levels to grow. We're all growing. We're all going to different places, and God is great and God is good. But from where they came from and where they're going right now, it's been fantastic. Fantastic. Essential for the season. Essential that we're in. God doing something new in the earth today. It's growth spurt time. It's time to grow. Time to grow. I don't want to grow. I don't want to. Okay. Well, it's time to grow. You do it with your kids. You got to take responsibility now. And you know how it is we do it with God sometimes. God, okay, it's time to grow. It's time to exercise this faith. Ugh, I just did this. Like 5 years ago, we just did something, didn't we? And we get upset. We get upset. It's, oh, here we go. We got to grow again. Got to pray. Got to go to church on Friday night, not Sunday. Got to grow. Got to stretch my wings. Got to talk to people about Jesus. Got to step out of faith. Got to kill my shadow. Got to override what happened in the past. Got to rise above that. Got to do it anyway. Got to do it in faith, even though I might be fearful. Going to do it because I know that God's able to bring good out of it. I'm growing again. But as you get familiar with it, and as you already know, it's part of life, it becomes easier to get in it. It's not so much like it was in the beginning where it's like, now I just get in the pool. You know what I'm saying? I just get in it. People are like, hold on, hold on. I'm going to ease my way in. 20 minutes later, they're on the second step. Get in the pool. I've already done a lap. I've thrown my kids up. I've thrown them behind me. I've done everything I can. I'm getting out. You're getting in. Get in the pool. Well, I'm just trying to like, haven't you gotten to a place where you already know it's probably going to hurt a little bit? It's probably going to be a little bit cold. It's probably going to be uncomfortable. Just get in. The quicker you get in, the quicker you get out. But what we do is that we hold up. We're like, wait a minute. Wait, wait. Like Will Ferrell and Elf. Remember he's going up the escalator? Because he's not familiar with it. He's doing one of these things. And people are like, dude, just get on the thing. And he goes up like this, straddling the steps. How many of us do that, though? God's trying to take us to one level from the next, and we do this. Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. I like that. I'm comfortable back there. My foot's there because I know that. I know that. I'm going, wait. Hold on. I know what you're doing here. I'm going to hold on to this real quick. And God says, get off that. Because if you're not careful, it can actually cause damage to you. I'm closing with this. He said, listen, you were so tight yesterday, and Misty even pointed this out. It feels like you want to snap on your left of your leg. Imagine if I would have snapped. What it could have done. If I didn't get that part unstuck and loosened up, what was going to be the thing that would have pushed me overboard? Did I have to get to that point where it had to be so desperate that if it wasn't broken off or something traumatic didn't happen, that I wasn't going to move or change? Isn't that what happens? We don't change unless we have to. And so unless it's about to snap, we finally say, okay. And God knows our process. It takes a while for us to get there. And God's loving and he knows. But that's where faith is built, where we're holding on so bad to finally we say, I can't do it anymore. Just take it. And finally we take it and we're like, that's not so bad. That's so bad. Because it's the unknown that we're concerned about. And God says, I already know there. But if we're familiar with this process, Rich, you know how it goes, right? We know how it goes. I feel like I'm growing again. It's okay. You can do it quicker. You leave, you bring this leg with you quicker now. We got to go. Well, my last time, forget it. Can't do that again. Just come on. Let's just go. What are you dragging with you? God says, can't come with you. Man, I'm going to go all night. Feels good today. God. All right, let's stand to our feet if we could. We'll close out.